You are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this late night Sunday edition of the podcast. Happy game week. It's the first time I can say that since January now, considering the whole offseason we have gotten through, free agency, the draft, before that even the NFL Combine, the Senior Bowl, mini camps, training camps underway right now. The Eagles had their first and only open practice at Lincoln Financial Field tonight, so we're going to get into that on today's edition of the show. You're probably listening on your Monday morning commute to work. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast 4 to 5 days a week. We're going to throw episodes into your phone and also on the computer at LockedOnEagles.com. So if you listen also on your desktop at work, we are available on LockedOnEagles.com. Remember, just tell Siri, just tell Alexa, play Locked On Eagles, and the latest one, we're going to get it for you going on your smart device. But again, first time I can say it is game week in a long time, and it feels really good to say that. Even though it's a preseason game, it's the first game of the year where we truly get to see where this team is at. Do the same training camp heroes that have been really, really good so far throughout the month of July and now into August, do those same guys translate it onto the field against the Tennessee Titans on Thursday at 8 o'clock? Or is it different players that are going to step up? We will have you covered all week. We have a crossover edition on Tuesday. We got things to watch for during the game on Wednesday. Tomorrow on Monday night, me and Gino have a really fun show that I'm not going to tease it. I'm not going to give it away, but tomorrow's episode is a really fun one that I think fans will really like. It's a really nerdy one for you, like, diehard Eagles fans out there. And I feel like most of you out there that listen to the show are, considering we're posting so many podcasts on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tomorrow, for the really, really nerdy Eagles fans out there that watch all preseason games, pay attention to training camp on a diehard level, tomorrow's episode will be really good. As for today, again, like I hinted, we're going to get into the first and only public practice for fans to attend at Lincoln Financial Field. And look, it was an awesome night. 40,000 people were in attendance, nearly $500,000 raised for autism awareness, which is awesome. I mean, look, for the $10 admission fee to get into the practice, having it go to a great cause like autism awareness, you know, I have people in my family that have autism, you know, looking into that and raising money towards that is a really good cause. So at least if you're going to charge $10 a ticket to get in, at least it is going to that. So that's awesome to hear that they nearly raised, you know, $500,000 and over 40,000 people did show up. I do also, though, at the same time, wish there were more open practices to have these. You know, I mentioned on the show about a month ago when it came out that they were only having one practice, that it kind of stinks that these young fans can't have these more, you know, hands-on experiences with these players, that maybe, you know, they throw them an arm sleeve or a glove or they sign something for them after. And, you know, you got that guy hooked now. You got that kid, that little boy, that little girl hooked on the Eagles for life. I mean, you made a fan for life. Now they'll never forget Carson Wentz. Or they'll never forget even an Andre Dillard or a Miles Sanders, one of the rookies, you know? I mean, it's the rookie's first taste, too, of Lincoln Financial Field and of this fan base, which is really cool. And there's just a lot of awesome dynamics today, of course, on the field. There is some injury news to get into that we will get into on the show. But there was just some really cool moments that didn't really have to do with the football part. Like I was saying, you know, signing things for kids and that kind of stuff. One of the big moments that, for me, growing up as an Eagles fan watching DeSean Jackson, seeing him run back out of the tunnel with this time Alshon Jeffery and Nelson Agholor instead of what used to be, you know, Jerry Macklin and Jason Avant and Brent Celek and LeSean McCoy, kind of seeing like the old wave with the new wave now being that combination is now the new wave. It was really fun to see, and seeing him run out of the tunnel for the first time since 2013 brought back all the feels of DeSean Jackson, you know, being one of the faces of the Philadelphia Eagles, which he definitely still is even now to this day. I mean, even when he wasn't in Philadelphia, no one was really over that because they never fully replaced him. And, you know, you look at Agholor and Alshon, they've been in Philadelphia for two of the best years in the franchise's history, and they've seen guys like Torrey Smith, try to be that third guy. The Eagles try to make Torrey Smith the new DeSean Jackson. They try to bring in Mike Wallace at the beginning of last year to be that new deep threat for Carson Wentz, to be that third wide receiver next to Aguilar and Jeffrey. Then it's Golden Tate at the trade deadline. So hopefully, you know, it's going to be, I think, fourth time probably going to be the charm at that third receiver spot. And, you know, seeing Jackson kind of lead them out of the tunnel, giving the three of them a speech as they broke the huddle, awesome thing to see him run out there. And he had the biggest standing ovation. You know, Doug Peterson got a huge ovation, Carson Wentz, you know, all the faces of the franchise, but the Eagles fans definitely gave DeSean Jackson a really, really warm welcome. And DeSean walks into 40,000 fans at an open practice, which he probably hasn't been used to lately. I mean, considering his two stops after Philadelphia in 2013 were Washington, and we kind of saw what happened in the takeover of that stadium last year, week 17, between the Eagles and the Redskins. And those fans really just, and I get it, the organization has basically said that, you know, they don't really care about winning, and they've, you know, if I was a Washington fan, I'd be frustrated with the situation that they've been in for the past few years. But, you know, he goes from Washington then to Tampa Bay. He probably wasn't used to open practices having, you know, 40-plus thousand fans in attendance. So that was really cool to see DeSean Jackson back. And, again, it was awesome to see the rookies get a taste of action on the actual stadium instead of the NovaCare Complex. A couple of them really took advantage, including Miles Sanders. We'll get into what he did during practice. Again, my running back brand just continues to thrive with Miles Sanders having an incredible summer. We'll get into all of that coming up. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. We're going to take a quick break. Then when we come back, I do got to get into some injury news. The Eagles, once again, having some bad luck on the health front. What else is new? This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. Guys, today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Let's set up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's none of that, you know, none of that awkwardness, no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. And again, best of all, no awkwardness, which is the worst part of it all. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special offer for our Locked On Eagles listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, again, BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Again, go to BlueChew.com, use the code Locked On, and just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is a Sunday edition. We're kicking off the week in style here, recapping the Eagles' only public practice that the fans could attend at Lincoln Financial Field. The good thing is we don't really have to wait that long for Philadelphia to hit the field and actually play a real game, taking on the Tennessee Titans on Thursday. Again, we'll have you covered right here on the network, previewing that game with different Titans personalities. We'll get into matchups to watch, players to keep an eye on. We got you covered. Again, we're going to have a podcast. We got this Sunday podcast. We got a Monday podcast, a Tuesday podcast, a Wednesday podcast. Then we have our recap on Thursday, and then we will round out the week on Friday. So once again, make sure you subscribe to the show so you can get all these episodes downloaded into your phone or into your computer if you go to LockedOnEagles.com. We're going to churn out as much content as we can for you now that Gino's also going to be coming back at the end of the week from his trip in Denver. So he'll be watching the game, and then he'll give you all his takes. Hopefully his boy J.J. Arcega-Whiteside does something against Tennessee to make him a little bit happier on his trip back for sure. So we'll get his takes at the end of the week. But I got you covered until then. So does Lars Lewis, who will be joining me at some point this week. Getting into some injury updates at this Lincoln Financial Field open practice to the fans. It was a live session, padded practice. You know, they were doing 11-on-11s. They were doing some one-on-ones, special team drills, and whatnot. Unfortunately for the Eagles defense, they lost a potential diamond in the rough that could have contributed this year to the team. At defensive end, Joe Osman was carted off with a leg injury. He could not put any weight on it when he came back up from falling to the ground. He was carted off. All the players had walked over to him to kind of, you know, see if he was okay and kind of give them, you know, their best wishes when he was getting carted into the locker room. doesn't look very good. Of course, the Eagles coaching staff does not like to, in the front office, they do not like to talk about injuries in depth, so I'm sure they're going to just say it's a lower body injury and that there is an MRI happening, I'm sure, tomorrow at NovaCare Complex. But Osman was someone that's, you know, we talk about all these standouts at camp so far this year. Joe Osman is one of those guys. You know, he was supposed to be competing in the preseason for that fourth defensive end spot with Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat to kind of convince the Eagles, hey, you don't have to go out there and sign a Connor Barwin. And to see that injury is tough for him. You know, as an undrafted rookie last year, he was having a pretty good summer again. You know, now it's back-to-back years and he suffers another injury. This is it's a tough one for Osman, and he was someone that maybe would contribute significantly to the defense this year. So we'll see what happens with that, but he was carted off. And, you know, Shelton Gibson limped off the field. He didn't return to practice. Hopefully for him it's not serious, because there's some other guys that have a real shot at wide receiver six if he can't stay on the field. Greg Ward Jr. is having a hell of a camp. Carlton Agudosi, you guys have heard me mention him a few times on the show, the 6'6", iffy any MoMA kind of receiver that I think could be a dominant red zone target, and if he can show he's more than a MoMA in the preseason, I could see the Eagles keeping him. And then you got a guy like Tompkins and, you know, Braxton Miller, of course, and, you know, Mark and Michelle. There's a lot of players that could grab that spot from Shelton Gibson. So for Gibson's sake, with a game coming up, in the games that he played really well in, which were the preseason games last year, that's how he really made the roster again. He needs to do that once again this year with even more competition. So we'll see what happened with him, but he limped off the field and he did not return to practice. We saw Kamu Grugia-Hill out there on crutches. We all know he tore his MCL, a grade 3 MCL tear this weekend. So, you know, look, all these injuries, they're super frustrating. You know, you got Cravon LeBlanc injured, Grugia-Hill. They'll both be back at some point during the season, but both could be back, you know, at the end of the year. Some could be back. Both of them could be back as early as maybe October, you know. Cravon LeBlanc, they said, could be back in a few weeks into the season. He did not have to have surgery on his injury, which is the same one as Jalen Mills. So hopefully that means it won't be as long as Jalen Mills is taken to recover. But, you know, the Eagles could be without LeBlanc. They could be without Grugia-Hill and Osman for a while. And it is frustrating, because this is the bad part of training camp. It's the bad part of the preseason. The Eagles haven't even gotten to the preseason yet, and you know, they keep grabbing the injury bug. I guess the silver lining here that I'll find for you is that the injuries suffered, they're from good players. They're from young players. They're from up-and-coming players, for sure. LeBlanc and Grugia-Hill are probably two of the best up-and-coming Eagles players on defense, but they are replaceable. LeBlanc was not expected to start this year. He was probably going to be, if Mills is healthy, the sixth corner on the depth chart. So, look, he was great in the slot down the stretch last year, but they can do without him for the first month or two of the season for sure. Grugia-Hill, he was going to be, you know, he was in line right now over Zach Brown to be that second linebacker. Great in coverage. He was having a hell of a camp. So it sucks to lose him, but if you're going to lose a starter, quote unquote, on this team, the second linebacker might be the one to lose, considering you do have a guy like Zach Brown, who has been one of PFF's highest rated linebackers the past few years in the NFL. In the past 3 years, he has more tackles than anybody but Bobby Wagner in the NFL. So, like, you have a guy like Zach Brown behind him, and a guy like LJ Fort, who has starting experience in Pittsburgh last year and in Cleveland, and he's a good special teams player. And, you know, Nate Geary too, who he's gotten better and better as he has progressed in Philly for the past few years. So if you're going to lose a couple players, you know, with Joe Osman, too, I was expecting more so it to be Josh Sweat versus Sharif Miller this summer, the two fourth-round picks competing. Osman was better than probably both so far this summer, but, you know, at the same time, for me, I was going in thinking, hey, it's probably going to be between Sweat and Miller. So I'm trying to find the silver lining here with these injuries that, you know, two of them at least in Grugia-Hill and LeBlanc will probably be back sooner rather than later during the season. But also, hey, at least they're not, I mean, knock on wood, they haven't lost yet their starting receiver or a starting tight end or, you know, God forbid, Jason Peters or Elaine Johnson, right? Like, someone that is huge to the team. Like, these guys aren't team killers where without them, they just can't survive. Let's hope they can get through this preseason healthy, but yeah, Grugia-Hill, LeBlanc, Joe Osman, it really stinks for these guys because they're all young players that were having really good summers that showed stuff on the field last year, and you were hoping they would take that next step this year into potential role players with Philadelphia. And, you know, they're all on the defensive side of the ball as well. So, you know, it's kind of frustrating too that this defense just cannot catch a break when it comes to health. Last year, it's like everything you can do to find a way to grab that bad luck seemingly happened in Philadelphia on the defensive side of the ball. So Osmond carted off. Shelton Gibson limped off the field, did not return to practice. Grugier Hill was in crutches with a torn MCL. So that's your injury update at today's open practice at Lincoln Financial Field. Coming up when we take a quick break right here, when we come back here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, I'll get into some of the individual performances who stood out in front of 40,000-plus fans at the Link. Don't go anywhere. This is Louis DiBiase on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back. We are wrapping up today's edition of the show, this late-night Sunday edition. You're probably listening on Monday, but guess what? We have another show coming up for you on Monday as well, because we are a daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I mentioned DeSean Jackson. It was really cool to see him come out of the tunnel, lead Alshon Jeffery and Aguilar with the, you know, whatever kind of little pep talk he was giving them before he came out for the first time since 2013 at the Link. But he was shining once again, actually on the field. He's going to make these young corners just better. He's going to make it seem like covering other slot guys for Avante Maddox, covering other receivers on the outside, if you're Rasul Douglas or Sidney Jones, you know, less explosive, less twitchy guys that can get so much separation like Jackson can, it's going to do wonders for these corners that they're getting all these meaningful reps against him and really all these good weapons on offense. It's just going to make it seem easier against other teams. But he again, man, he was roasting Sidney Jones. He got the best of Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas in one-on-ones today. He caught Douglas on one-on-one drill. He caught Douglas hesitating in his back pedal, thinking Jackson was cutting inside. And then Jackson, of course, breaks back down the sideline. And it's tough for Rasul against those kinds of receivers since he doesn't really have that recovery speed or being as fluid with the hips and changing direction as other guys are, like Sidney Jones. And especially when, you know, he's hovering at the line of scrimmage, but you're not letting him grapple with the receiver. You're not letting him press at the line. That's when you expose Rasul Douglas. That's when a guy like Amari Cooper on Sunday Night Football last year can have a field day against him. You got to let him, if he's getting up close to the line of scrimmage, especially against a guy like DeSean Jackson, you have got to let him get a hand on that receiver, or else something like that one-on-one drill could happen. So, but it wasn't just Rasul Douglas, it was Sidney Jones that he beat. He got Avante Maddox a few times. Good thing for Avante Maddox, though, it was a red zone drill. DeSean Jackson was running a corner route in the right corner of the end zone. Maddox speeds up, cuts in front of him, knocks the ball down. He made a hell of a play. Like I said, especially for like an Avante Maddox, going from covering DeSean Jackson in the slot to, you know, a Tyler Boyd, if they ever, they don't play Cincinnati this year, but, you know, a Cole Beasley against Buffalo, any receiver, Albert Wilson, while these are all pretty good receivers, man, you've been practicing against DeSean Jackson and Nelson Aguilar every week, you know, every single day. It's going to do wonders for these young corners getting all these meaningful reps for sure, even though a lot of it DeSean is getting them. DeSean burned Rasul Douglas again in an 11-on-11 drill for probably the play of the game, a 60-yard bomb. Carson Wentz rolls to his right outside the pocket, just cocks it back. He only had Malcolm Jenkins to beat. DeSean Jackson jumps up in the air and grabs it down in front of Malcolm Jenkins. That's the thing about DeSean Jackson. He is a complete, he's a more complete receiver than people give him credit for. I remember I started watching back some of his old highlights from 2008 and 2009, and even, like, you know, 2013, too, I was watching that Minnesota game specifically when I was writing a piece for 97.3 ESPN. And, you know, he made some contested catches in the past. He's got some bunnies, and he's got good hands. So he showed that on full display today. It was cool. The crowd got rowdy. It was the first real Carson Wentz to DeSean Jackson connection that they've seen so far in person. And, you know, hopefully the fans can see that throughout the year. I think that's going to be a special combination this year. Another thing with Jackson, formation-wise, even when he was a wide receiver on the outside, they were putting him in reduced splits. They were pushing him closer to the line of scrimmage, closer to the offensive line, where Jackson thrives in those reduced splits, where he has more space to work with, not only on the inside, but on the outside too, to expose corners with just more spacing. And that's how he can create more leverage and more separation. Even when Nelson Aguilar was in the slot today, DeSean Jackson was still lining up in reduced splits on the other side. So that was cool to see too, that Doug Peterson has taken notice of that. He's watched the film of DeSean with Washington and with Tampa Bay, and with Philadelphia in the past, and he knows that that's something to prioritize with Jackson. Again, moving him around the formation in different spots, using him in different ways, even through the play with reverses and screens and short routes and then deep routes. Using him as a complete receiver this year is going to be a very interesting dynamic that we have not seen with him in a while for sure. And then the other thing here, Miles Sanders. I know we keep talking about the same guys, but it's the same guys that keep shining in camp. Miles Sanders had a vintage LeSean McCoy-like play today where he juked the defense out of their pants in an 11-on-11 drill. Sidney Jones comes up, he clogs the C-gap on the right side. There is nowhere to go up the middle between the offensive and defensive line. Sanders kicks it out to the outside, makes everybody miss, and finds a way into the end zone. His patience and vision were on full display today. He had another big run, too, up the middle for like 30 yards. He's going to be RB1 before you can even blink. I give it 4-5 weeks before, maybe even sooner. Maybe even to start out the year, he might eventually upend Jordan Howard. He is clearly the most complete running back, and if they hold him back just for the sake of getting Sproles touches or Jordan Howard touches, if Deuce Staley messes up this rotation, and if he's clearly the best running back and he's only getting a couple more touches a game than the other guys, I know I've said it a lot on the podcast, it's going to frustrate the hell out of me because he looks really good, and I'm so excited, you know, against the defenses in the preseason in just a few days. And Carson Wentz, super sharp again. He caught his own touchdown today, kind of Marcus Mariota style against the Chiefs in the playoffs. He found Alshon Jeffrey in the red zone, Zach Ertz. This is going to be a great red zone offense, and you could see that again today. And back to Sidney Jones, Mr. Hero of the defense for training camp this week, and really this year, he did really well on Dallas Goedert in a couple spots today on 11-on-11. So it was kind of much of the same. The really good standout players have done the same thing once again today in front of 40,000 fans. All right, people, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked In Eagles podcast. Once again, I got a fun one coming up tomorrow with Gino. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I can't tease it just yet, but just stand by your phone, stand by lockdowneagles.com tomorrow night. That's going to do it. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.